But when we are put in Christ, we are to, the sap that flows from the tree is the sap of unselfishness and humility. It's not something I produce. Do you think a branch produces the sap that produces oranges? No. The sap, the branch just receives the sap that produces oranges. And Jesus said, I am the tree, you are the branches. I have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit that produces humility. Otherwise it would be an artificial humility. That produces a life free from selfishness. That's why the most important thing in the Christian life, listen to this, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what those early Christians have, which the devil has counterfeited everywhere, and people are satisfied with the counterfeit. My life and my ministry would not be what it is today if God had not baptized me in the Holy Spirit and fire. There was a time when Jesus Christ baptized me in the Holy Spirit and fire. He laid His nail-pierced hands on my head and anointed me. Put the Spirit in me and fire in me. And I said, Lord, I never want to lose it. And the Lord said, live in trembling at my word. And I say, Lord, I will. And that's why I say, I haven't come to that top of the mountain yet, but I'm working my way up, and every year it gets better. To be totally free from selfishness and conceit. The reason is, there is a law in God's dealings, like the law of gravity. You know that you can make use of the law of gravity? So much of machinery makes use of the law of gravity. In many places, electricity is produced by what is called hydroelectric power. They have a big wheel, a waterfall. They put that wheel under the waterfall and the wheel goes round and round and round and round as gravity pulls the water down, and the turning of the wheel around a magnet produces electricity. Adam could have done it. Electricity is not an invention, it's a discovery. Invention is something you produce, like a computer. Discovery is something which is there in nature and you discover it. If Adam knew how to use gravity, he could have produced electricity in Eden. You know, let waterfall fall upon this thing and get some magnet and produce electricity through it. There are laws in the kingdom of God too. And one of those very important laws, like the law of gravity, which you can make use of, is this. God gives His grace to the humble. 1 Peter, James chapter 4, and verse 6. God gives His grace to the humble, and God is opposed to the proud. And in case you missed it, Peter repeats it in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It's one of those things repeated in the epistles. Two different apostles write the same thing. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, 1 Peter 5 verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. What does it mean to be exalted? Some people think, if I humble myself, God will make me an elder. Is that what you want to be exalted over people? Boy, you're totally unfit to be an elder. The sad thing is, some elders do want to be exalted over people. They want to order around and to be known as a big man. I'll tell you what I want to be exalted over. Sin. I want to be exalted over sin. I want to be exalted over the world. I want to be exalted over the devil. I have zero interest in being exalted over people. I have no interest in giving orders to people. I have no interest in people respecting me. God is my witness. I have zero interest in people honoring me or respecting me or deferring to me or any such thing. But I have tremendous passion and interest to be exalted over sin and the world and the devil and money and lusts. I want them all under my feet. I want to be exalted. And that is how I read the verse. That if I humble myself, God will exalt me over all these things. Let men be bigger than me and greater than me. Let everybody in the church be greater and bigger than me. It doesn't matter me one bit. I'm sorry to say that Once upon a time, many who started in CFC pursuing the right way are not pursuing the right way now. They are seeking to be exalted over people. Many have drifted from that original path that God showed us in CFC, the way of humility and brokenness. But there are a few, and I praise God for them, who have seen that vision and who will not change, who are determined to go the way Jesus went, who at the end of his life, on the last day of his life, was washing the disciples' feet. And I've prayed that many times in my life. I said, Lord, on my last day of my life on earth, I don't want to be a director of any organization or be some big shot somewhere. If you will give me the honor on the last day of my life on earth to be washing somebody's feet, I would be delighted, because that's where my Savior was, on the last day of his life on earth. Which way are you pursuing? Are you going up or going down? Lucifer went up, and you know where he ended up. He became the devil. Jesus went down and down and down and down and down. You read that in Philippians 2. Turn back to Philippians 2. Jesus, though he was God, humbled himself. He wasn't just an elder brother. He was Almighty God. He was not an elder brother. He was Almighty God, and he humbled himself and became a servant. He came to earth and became a servant, it says. Because he was made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:7, he became a servant. You need to understand this verse. I never understood it for a long time. He knew that the moment you become a man, you have to be a servant of others. Have you known that? I said, Lord, that's amazing. That in this sin-cursed earth, we're not supposed to be kings. We're not supposed to be rulers. When they wanted to make Jesus a king, why did he run away? Tell me, why did he run away in John chapter 6? Because he knew a man has to be a servant. They didn't know that in the Old Testament. The man after God's own heart, David, became a king. Many people became kings, but not today. No, today we have to follow Jesus, who when they wanted to make him a king, he ran away into the wilderness on the mountaintop. He didn't want to be a king. He wanted to be a servant, because he knew, he saw clearly that in a sin-cursed world, the only right position a man can take is to be a servant of others. Have you seen it? I praise God for the day God opened my eyes to see that. That I am not called to rule over anybody. I am not called to get anybody to obey me. I agree fully with John Wesley, who said, if you disobey me, brother, you do not sin. If you disobey God, you sin. I'm sorry to say there are elder brothers who think, if you disobey me, you sin. Rubbish! You're a servant of the devil! I'll tell you honestly, if you disobey me, you don't sin. If you disobey God, you sin. Jesus became a servant. I'll tell you what is the greatest need in CFC today in the year 2010 as it completes. We need more servants with the spirit of a servant. Not those who serve. There's a lot of difference between those who serve. Haven't you seen these pictures of cabinet ministers who inaugurate a road sweeping campaign by taking a broom and make sure the photographers are there and sweep the road, inaugurating the road sweeping campaign, the chief minister coming and doing this. Are you that type of an elder? He's serving. He's not a servant. There's a lot of difference between serving and being a servant. You can serve in numerous ways in the conference, and you may not have the spirit of a servant. You may do so many things, but you may be a pretty bossy person. Jesus was a servant, a bond servant. He became like a slave. And because he emptied himself and came down like that, it says God exalted him for this reason, verse 9. For this reason, God exalted him and gave him a name which is above every other name. Do you know who's going to sit at the left hand and the right hand of Jesus? James and John wanted to sit there. I'll tell you who's going to sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus. If you can understand how Jesus got the highest place, then you will know who's going to sit at his left hand and right hand in eternity. Jesus did not say, oh, there is no such place as my left hand and right hand. All are equal in heaven. He did not say that. He said, there is a place like that, left hand and right hand of me. That means very close to me. Not every believer will be so close. I believe that with all my heart, that for all eternity, every believer will not be as close to Jesus as others. That depends on how faithful you are here. To me, the greatest reward that God can ever give me in heaven is not mansions, it's not crowns. What will I do with 10 crowns, me balancing on my head and walking around heaven? What's the use of my getting a 14-bedroom mansion in heaven? I don't want it. You can have it. I'll tell you the reward I look for in heaven. Closeness to Jesus. Closeness to Jesus. That is the only reward worth anything in heaven. And I believe with all my heart that the more faithful you are on earth in this one life, the closer you'll be to Jesus. Why did God give Jesus the highest place in heaven? Not because he was the Son of God, it says here, because he humbled himself. Now I know who's going to sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus. In all the history of humanity, those who humbled themselves the most, I don't know who they are, but I'm sure there are two people who humbled themselves the most. It could be some poor widow in Africa who's one of them, and maybe some other unknown man in some other place who humbled themselves more than anybody else. They're going to sit the left hand and right hand of Jesus. And you wonder, who are these? I never heard of these people. They are the ones who humbled themselves the most, because it's a law. The one who humbled themselves the most is right at the top. The one who humbled himself next to that is next to them. Those who humbled themselves a little less are next. It's like a pyramid. And those who, you know, just wanted to be somebody on earth, they are way down somewhere else. Where are you going to be? Do you want to be close to Jesus? I tell you, I'd give anything to be close to Jesus for all eternity. Anything. I say, Lord, just tell me the price I have to pay on earth. I'll pay it. I'm not interested in anything. I want to be close to Jesus in all eternity. He who gave his life for me. Why should I be 1,000 miles away from him in heaven? I want to be close to him. And I can be. Humble yourself. You can be. Humble yourself. Be a servant. Be a servant of others. It's not just a theory for me. I've been gripped by it in my heart. You know, there's a difference when you're gripped by something in your heart. It becomes a passion. It becomes a passion that drives you. And you never get tired. If you have this passion in your heart, you can do miracles, amazing things, when you have a passion in your heart. I heard a true story once of a mother who saw a car going over her child. And immediately she rushed and lifted that car to release that child. You see, a woman did that? That's right. It actually happened. She had such a passion, such a love for that child, that all the adrenaline pumped into her body. She could lift one wheel of the car, which she could never have done in normal circumstances. It's amazing what you can do when you have a passion for something. It'll drive out your laziness, it'll drive out your tiredness, it'll drive out everything, because you got a passion to be a servant of others. This is the way, my brothers and sisters. This is the way which was completely unknown in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, they wanted to be kings and leaders. Jesus said, the Gentiles look for such positions. Among you, it must not be so. But he who is greatest among you must be serve the others. Must have the spirit of a servant. Isn't that how a mother is? Many of you are mothers. Tell me honestly, aren't you really a servant at home to your children? What a lot of things you do for the sake of your children. From babyhood, you don't expect any reward. You serve even when your children are ungrateful, don't even say a word of thanks to you. You'll still cook food for them. You'll still wash their clothes. That's the spirit of a servant who seeks nothing in return.